Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, so welcome everybody, and if you're joining us online, I'm glad you're a part of this teaching time. We're in a series that we've been doing called Let's Talk, which is a kind of an informal approach. Sometimes I stand up and preach and teach the Word of God, but in this series, I'm teaching and talking to people about issues that so many people have experienced, and we've been able to hear some great stories in this series and meet some really interesting people that have discovered how to move to a better place in their spiritual life. And one of the issues that so many people struggle with, and it's the one that I want to tackle today, is the issue of fear. I want to talk about our fear factor and how God will break the chains of fear. Do any of you remember one of those early reality TV shows? I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe, called Fear Factor. It was on for a few years. You know, they make you eat bugs and do crazy things and face all your fears. It was pretty disgusting, and I think I'm glad it's not on TV anymore. But we all kind of have a fear factor. You know, it's interesting. So many different kinds of fears, and facing those fears is really a part of it. So I wonder what your fear is. I wonder different kinds of fear that might be in your life. I wonder if you have arachnophobia, which is a fear of spiders. Anybody have that one? Well, don't claim it, but you've felt it. I don't know if anybody here suffers from blenophobia. That's the fear of slime. That's disgusting. Or maybe you've got cataphobia, which is the fear of hairy people, which is pretty terrifying. Cataphobia. I hope you don't have odontophobia, which is the fear of teeth. And I really hope you don't have homilophobia, which is the fear of sermons. Because you're in the wrong place if that's one of your fears. Now, these might sound a little bit, you know, trivial or humorous, whatever, but there are other fears that people face in life that are more life-altering, like the fear of failure. A lot of people are afraid to step out into new things because they're afraid of what will happen, fear of the future. I know many people that are terrified of being alone in life. People have financial fears. They fear, you know, not having enough, not having an adequate supply from the Lord in their life, fear of poverty or fear of death. You know, that one. Now, young people don't usually have a fear of death. Sometimes they do, and they can. But sometimes as people mature and they get a little closer, maybe toward the statistical end of their life, and they start to count the years and get a little anxious and fearful about death. The good news is that God can break those fears off of our life and teach us how to move forward in our life. The Bible talks about fear over 700 times in Scripture, and over 300 times there's a really important phrase in the Bible. I know you've heard it, where God says to us, "Fear not." Everybody say, "Fear not." Over 300 times. You know why God would say to us 300 times, "Fear not"? Because it's very common for us to fear. A lot of people do struggle with fear, and it's very common, and God understands that, and He has a lot to say about that subject, and He's the one that has the power to deliver us from our fears and bring us forward. Now, the reason I think it's important to talk about fear and how to get over our fears is because there's a principle, and I want to just start with this. Maybe you want to write this down on your teaching outline. The principle is this, that everything God has planned for you, every blessing that God has for you, is available on the other side of fear. Think deeply about that now, because I know you want to be blessed. I know you're dreaming dreams for the future. I know you want certain things for your life and for your family, for your ministry, for your spiritual life. And all those provisions are there for you in Christ. But it's kind of like there's a river that we have to cross before we get to the promised land. And that river is just like a point in time where we can either say, you know what, I'm going to stay on this side. I'm too afraid to go over there where God is going to bless me. maybe God could just bless me where I'm at. Maybe I could just get God to come and join me over here on this side. God says, no, I want you to cross that river of fear. I want you to move through this experience and come out on the other side in a new place. And I believe God will help us to do that, and he will bring us into unimaginable blessings that he has already provided for us in Christ. In every area of our life, let's think about how could we cross over to a new place? How could we get past fear? Fear of being married, fear of stepping out in ministry, fear of trusting the Lord with our finances, whatever it may be. God has blessings for us, but it's on the other side of our fears. And thankfully, God is in the business of breaking the power of fear in our lives. So we're not the ones that have to break the fear. God will break it for us as we cooperate with him and as we put our trust in him and learn his word. There's a scripture that I'd like to just start with today. It's Psalm 34. And I always like to read the word of God and confess the word of God out loud because it has such power. It gets into our brain and it gets into our spirit when we say it out loud. So let's try this together. Psalm 34, 1 through 4. Let's read out loud together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and from all my... He what? Delivered me from all my fears. It's very common to have fear, but part of the Christian life is to be set free from fear. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he set me free from all my fears. God, my God, is a fear buster. Hallelujah. And the more you know him, the more you get to know Jesus Christ, the more time you spend with God, and the more of his presence you cultivate in your life, an awareness of God and your faith in God, that fear just melts. And so while fear is a real problem, God is able to handle it, and he can really guide us through that. Now, we had some pretty interesting feedback. We're calling this series Let's Talk. And we wanted to create some kind of a platform for interacting, you know, giving people a chance to talk through what they experience about fear in their life, etc., each of the subjects that we've done. So we created on my wall on Facebook a question this last week, and I asked the question, what's your fear? Because I think this is interesting. What is the fear that you have struggled with? And a lot of people, I mean, some of the answers were pretty funny, and others are heartbreaking. Some physical fears that people have expressed. I love Eric, a friend of mine in Michigan. He says, I have a fear of clowns. They were created when Lucifer fell from heaven. Clowns are pretty terrifying when you think about it. Marie over in Hawaii said, I hate maggots. I hate maggots. David said, crowds of people. Doesn't like crowds. A lot of people said spiders. How many arachnophobes we got here? All right, you're getting better. God's delivering you. You want someone else to kill them, right? Deb said drowning. Christina said rejection and spiders. I don't know if that means all at once or if it's the combination. Or then Ashley chimed in right under that. She said, well, I have to say that directly under this post was a post about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. But in all seriousness, I completely agree with Christina, rejection and spiders. So there's something about that combination. Robin doesn't like heights, and she's determined to skydive someday so she can overcome her fear of heights. And Crystal, who's married to a dentist, said her fear is definitely dentists. Okay, so... But then there were the more emotion-based responses on Facebook. Ada said, at times I fear that my loved ones will die without knowing Jesus. Pam says, I fear a future without any retirement, finances for retirement. Cal says, I'm afraid that I'm not good enough and will fail my loved ones. Virginia says, rejection and abandonment, as in investing your whole heart into a relationship only to be rejected and abandoned. But I suspect, she says, that if we're all honest, we all have a touch of this fear. Lori talked about the fear of man, the religious spirit, persecution and rejection, maybe inside the church, or she says it's paralyzing at times. Some people wrote about panic attacks. Victor said rejection is his fear. Stacy said when life takes a new turn and those first steps into the unknown. How many have ever been in that situation? And you can feel fear at that time. Shell says fear of failure. She has a list. Fear of failure. Fear of not being in control. Fear that loved ones won't make better choices, won't ever make better choices. And most recently, the fear that we can't afford to stay in the Bay Area. How many have felt that one before? Can God make a table in the wilderness? He can do it. He can do it. So anyway, I thought those were interesting, just kind of an interesting glimpse at the different forms that fear can take in our lives. And I want to say that at the end of the message, I'm really believing. Kathy and I have been praying and fasting this week, and our staff with us, that today, just in the short time that we have, as we pray, that some major miracles could take place in this room. Amen. And for people joining us online, and I mean that fear would be powerfully, powerfully broken. We don't need it to be the 4th of July. We don't need fireworks and marching bands or anything. We could just have the Holy Spirit touch us and just clip that thing right out of our experience. And so we're going to pray together today, and I want you to get your faith out and believe that God's going to really touch you and help you. But one of the ways I want to help you is by introducing you to somebody that you may know or you may not know, but this is a person that has struggled with this very issue, and God has helped her to move forward in her life through all kinds of experiences despite some real fears that she experienced along the way. And it's somebody that I have a lot of special feelings for because it's my wife, Kathy. And I want you to welcome Kathy Canastracy to come up here, my beautiful wife. You look beautiful today. This is Kathy, and I'm not that guy that really shows pictures of grandchildren, but I just want to tell you about my family. I have two amazing men that are my sons, Aaron Canastracy and Jordan Canastracy, who both married amazing women. Jordan married April, and Aaron married Carrie. And the greatest thing they've ever done for us, bar none, was to provide Chloe and Liam, and we are super happy. Kathy, sometimes you don't see her on this in the first service sometimes because she helps take care of Chloe while Jordan and April are here working in the church. But this is our family, and as you can see, we are delighted with life. We really enjoy life. We love pastoring you. We love doing what we're doing. But our life hasn't been without challenges or moments of fear and challenge. We've had our rivers that we've had to cross, and Kathy, a few of them. So I want, Kathy, come on, just take a seat. Let me help you get comfortable. And she's going to just talk, and I'm going to ask her to just share a little bit about how you have experienced fear in your life. Would you please welcome Kathy Canastracy?
Good morning, everybody. I want to start at the beginning, not at the beginning when I was born, but at the beginning of what I call when I accepted the Lord to come in my life as a teenager. We've been a part of our church I've been a part of our church for 40 years, and Apostle and Sister Canastracy here on the front row were my pastors, and they still are my pastors. But at that time, they were pouring into us young people, and of course, our church has the gift of inspiring people to be leaders and for God to use people. And so he was inspiring us as young people, and one of the things that he used to say a lot, at the time, I didn't understand it, but I understand it now, that God has a plan for our lives, and he has a purpose for our lives. And looking back over my life, now that I'm in my 50s, I can say God definitely had a plan for my life. So the big fear at that time was because a lot of the young guys in the church wanted to be leaders and pastors and be powerful men of God in the ministry and all of that, I did not want to be a pastor's wife. I did not want to be a minister's wife. I said, go away. Leave me alone. That's not for me. And so you don't remember this.
Be careful what you say you'll never do.
Right. There's a lot of things that I've done that I said I'd never do. And so one of the things that we started dating, and
that was awesome.
And yeah, it was. You were quite the ladies' man. And so, wait, I'm getting off track
here.
Yeah,
you are. Get back to your.
Back to what I was afraid of. So one of the things that he said to me was, and he is a very intense person, as you can see, very, you know, go-getter type. And I was more of the laid-back, you know, keep your cool person. But he said to me, if you want to date me, you have to eat, sleep, and drink the ministry. And I thought, that's weird. You know, because we're teenagers, and I want to have fun. I'm not eating, sleeping, and drinking that. And so...
don't remember saying that.
Yeah. You could see that, right? And so I had preconceived ideas about how being in the ministry was going to affect me, and I wasn't really too happy about that because I had a lot of fears connected to it. And I didn't want to live in a fishbowl. I didn't want to be expected to act a certain way. At that time, we would have different guest ministers that would come, and of course they were full of life and power, and they had their hair a certain way, and
women preachers,
and you know, they dressed a certain way, and I was kind of came out of the hippie era, you know, where my hair was down here and I parted it down the middle and I wore jeans and midriff tops, and I wasn't the pastor's wife type. So anyway, I would cry about it and tell him, I can't be like that. And he's like, I don't want you to be like that. So that was helpful. But we went to premarital Christian counseling, and it was a man that was much older than us. Gosh, he was old. He was in his 50s. And he told me, you know, I shared my fear with him, and he said, just be who you are. And I was like, that was like a light bulb revelation that went on, that I could actually be myself and, you know, say whatever I wanted. No, I couldn't do that. But I had to control myself.
Although you sometimes do say whatever you want.
That's true. And that's scary. But anyway.
That's one of my fears.
Yeah. That's... So he's taking a real risk here, okay? I said, if you give me the microphone, you never know what's going to happen. So shortly after we were married, I was helping in a lot of the areas of the church. You know, I helped with Sunday school, and I helped with different events that we had, and I helped with ladies' retreats. And so we were in a meeting, and I don't know who asked me, but someone, we were married for a couple of years, so I was, you know, very experienced. And someone asked me in the meeting, would you like to teach the older women that are married at a marriage class? And you know how the Holy Spirit comes on you sometimes and you say, yes, I'll do that. And then you go home and you think about it and you go, oh, why did I say that? I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, I don't know how to be a good wife and all of that. So I went to the Christian bookstore and I got some books and I inhaled it and then looked up in the Bible, what was a wife supposed to do? So it says, wives, respect and admire your husband. And I was like, oh, I don't even know how to do that. So I went to Webster's Dictionary. I looked up the word respect, and I was like, oh, okay. and admire your husband? Because in my family, we grew up telling each other to shut up. And so I figured out real soon that that didn't really work with our relationship. It was like, I had to change that. But anyway, every week, I would get so scared before I taught the class that I would lose sleep, have that overwhelming thing that comes over you when you get afraid, like you're frozen.
Paralyzed.
Paralyzed. And, of course, before the class, I would have to run to the bathroom and have an experience in there because I was so scared. But then, you know, I would, like, lean on the Lord, and the Lord would help me, and I would teach the class, and people got blessed, and I lived to tell about it. And so, but just about everything that the Lord has asked me to do over the years, at one point you were over the television ministry, and we had a broadcast, and the elders had asked you to go to the Philippines. We had inherited a mission where we took care of Bible school and a children's home and all of that. So you were going there to make a fundraising video. And my sister was there, and she was homesick. And so there was no spiritual reason for me wanting to go there. I didn't want to, like, give my life over to the Lord again and use me in the Philippines. I was going there to visit my sister. Then we came home, and you said to me, I feel like God is speaking to me. He wants me to be a missionary in the Philippines.
He wants us.
Right. And I heard... I heard me. And I said, I'm not a missionary. I never will be a missionary. Don't talk about that again.
Literally.
Because you're making me sick. And so...
She felt nauseous if I just said the word Philippines.
And so I didn't want to go. I said, you have lost it now. We just bought a house. I'm pregnant with a baby, and I got a 2-year-old. Are you nuts? I'm not moving to the Philippines. So anyway, but God changed my heart, and we went. And it was the best experience of, one of the best experiences of our lives. And I would recommend that to anyone. Do short-term missions, live on the mission field for a while, because we saw how God really used us,
that was awesome.
And it was wonderful.
So all of your greatest nightmares came to reality in marrying me and in entering into a life of ministry. I mean, of course, she seized up. She was nervous. Her body reacted. She would have... I don't know if it was a panic attack, but it was pretty severe reactions to different moments, speaking in front of people, moving 4,000 miles away, stuff like that. But then through that, you stayed faithful. You stayed faithful, and you met every challenge. And here you are today, voluntarily, speaking in front of people. And I'm just getting a word about the missions field right now. No, I'm not. But here you are. Maybe you haven't had like the 4th of July big, powerful experience of instantaneous freedom from fear, although that can happen. We don't minimize that. God is a miracle God, and you can be instantly delivered of anything, you know. But more often than not, it's a process, and Kathy has been through that process of freedom in her life. What have you learned through this? What if I say, tell the people how to be free from fear, what are some tips?
I think the same way that I kind of delved into looking at about how to have a good marriage, I delved into the Bible and really studied up on this topic of fear. And so in 1 Timothy 1:7, the first part of that says that for God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Right.
So I had to realize that God has not given us fear, and that fear is not like part of our inheritance. Like, you're Italian, I'm Mexican. We didn't have a choice about that. And I think sometimes we think that we don't have a choice as to whether or not we're going to be fearful.
It's our lot in life.
Right. It's like we just kind of sit back and say, well, I guess I'm going to be afraid, and that's just who I am, and I'm a fearful person. And so, you know, but then I went to Psalms 34:4, and it says that he delivers me from all my fears
right.
when I seek him. So a lot of times we don't, our go-to place is not to seek the Lord. It's like we just put up with fear in our life as if we just have to give in to it, but that's not true. And sometimes we have to realize that we're treating fear like our family pet. Like we're saying, oh, you know, poor baby, and I'm afraid, and we go to people and we tell them we're afraid, and because we want to get, oh, it's okay, poor baby,
comfort,
you know, you're afraid, and we feel like it's like handed down to us somehow from our parents, and no, God said he didn't give that to us. That's not supposed to be in our house, you know, our spiritual house.
Well, sometimes it becomes like a pet, and we feed our fear, and we make a place for it in our life, and when you do that, it just gets stronger. It just grows. And I want to just make a statement, and you can comment on this too, Kathy, as we do this, but we can't be delivered from our pets. We can only be delivered from our enemies. You've got to hate fear. You've got to separate yourself from fear and say, right, it's not a part of my life, and I'm not going to coddle it, right?
Right. And, you know, we do. We have to hate what it does to us because God does have a plan for us. God wants to use our lives, and it holds us back from what it is that God wants us to do and be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to just pause here and thank Kathy for sharing her story, but now we're going to kind of switch in, and I want her to help me to teach a little bit. But just as we do this, because she has opened up her story of serving the Lord and working through a few of the fears that we've had time to talk about today, and there have been many, many others, and I just want to honor Kathy because what she's done in following Jesus, serving the Lord, dedicating her life to the Lord and in marrying me has not only helped her to face and overcome those fears, but that act of obedience on your part has been a blessing to me, and it's blessed our church. Amen. And I just really want you guys to honor Kathy for 35 years of serving you and pushing through the fear. And it's been fun, right?
I mean,
not everything was a nightmare, right?
No, of course not. It is such a blessing to see lives transformed for Jesus.
Yeah.
It is very rewarding, but you do have to push against things that are trying to hold you back, for sure.
There's that river, and everybody has a river they have to cross.
Yes.
And I just wonder what your river is. Maybe it's fear. But I'm telling you, God has blessings for you on the other side. And you're not alone. You're not the only person that's ever had to cross a river to get to the new thing and to the other side. But I want to encourage you to keep moving forward. And you might not feel like you're a big giant of faith, and you might not feel like, you know, that God wants to do great things in your life, but he does. He wants to do great things for you, and he wants to do great things through you. And you don't have to change your hair, and you don't have to dress like anybody else, and you don't have to. All you have to do is be yourself and follow Jesus, and let's cross that river of fear. So how do we do it? How do we do this? I just want to share three things. We'll share together three simple steps to get into a life of victory over fear. 1 Corinthians 15 says, thanks to God, thanks be to God, who gives us the what?
Victory.
The victory, circle that word, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not called to live a defeated life. The Christian life is not a defeated life. The Christian life is not a crushed life. It's not a disadvantaged life. It's a victorious life. God has called you into a supernatural lifestyle. Of victory and power, and he will show you how to do it. And living the Christian life is not trying to get to a place of victory. The secret of a Christian life is living from a place of victory, realizing it's already there, that if you have Christ, you have everything.
Amen.
And that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And you have the greatest power in the world living on the inside of you. So you have the victory. Now, how do you walk? How do you lead your life so that that victory can really come forth? In the area of fear, there are three things I want to mention. First of all, the first piece is you've got to receive God's love.
Yes.
Now, you might say, well, I know God loves me, but I mean, have you really really deeply connected with the fact that God is for you and God is good. Because if you understand God's love, and not only that he loves you, but that you are lovable, and that's, if that ever starts to creep into you, that the Holy Spirit would make it glow on the inside of you, that you are loved by God, then fear is extinguished. Because this is what the Bible says. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, what? Casts out fear. It displaces fear. The more love I receive, from God especially, the more my fear is displaced. And I think at the root of fear sometimes is forgetting that God loves us. Because, for example, maybe if you're afraid, you know, you surrender to Christ and God's going to send you to the mission field or have you do some crazy thing or whatever it is, that there's something like believing that God doesn't have your best in mind. But when you believe that God loves you, see, if you love somebody, you want the very best for them. When you love somebody, you're not going to burn them. And God loves you, so he's not going to burn you. So if he says to you, look, I want you to do this. This is my plan. When you follow that, your life isn't going to come crashing down around you. God's not leading you to failure. He's leading you to blessings. So you've got to, the first thing you've got to do is establish, look, if God is asking me to do this or this is happening in my life, I've got to, my frame of reference has got to be God loves me and this is going to be okay. My life isn't going to get worse if I follow the Lord. It's going to get better because God loves me. He's for me. You got that? Yeah. So the love of God really starts to push out fear in our life. And I'll say it this way. Freedom from fear begins with the love of God in Christ. If you doubt that God loves you, just look at the cross. Look at Jesus. Because Jesus crossed the river of fear for us. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane facing the agony of a death by crucifixion, a public execution. And he's praying and he's saying, Father, this is not my will. This is not my idea of a good time. Let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And why did he do that? Why would he do that? Because he loved the Father, but also because he loved you and because he loved me. And he knew that without the shedding of his blood, there could be no washing away of our sins. And so that gift of salvation and redemption that comes through Christ was so expensive. You've got to stop yourself from being afraid. You've got to say, look, if the Lord loves me enough to go through that on the cross for me, then I must really be loved. Some people want to shake their fist at God and say, what have you ever done for me? I would point you to the cross. What more does he need to do? The Bible says that the love of God is demonstrated in Christ. So it's proof that he loves you. So receive the love of God and let that soak in. And today, you know, we're going to have prayer at the end. I'm going to be believing God for fear to be broken. But I want to just say this. If you're here today and you're not sure that Christ is a part of your life, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, I'm not talking about joining a church or I'm talking about a simple invitation to welcome Christ into your heart and into your life. If you've never done that, I want to challenge you to do that because you need Jesus. You can't be saved without Jesus. You can't be whole without Jesus. So open your heart and receive God's love. Then the second piece of this is to focus on the truth. Now, we could say a lot of things about the truth. But Jesus said this, that the truth, and we heard this last week, the truth will set you free. When you are afraid, look for the lie. Discern the lie, because somewhere in there, you're being lied to. You're being deceived, because there may be a voice in there saying, it may be the devil, it may be your mind, it may be an evil spirit that's whispering to you and saying, don't do that, don't do that. You can't trust God. You're not forgiven. People will hurt you every time. And whatever those lies are, it's to keep you from crossing that river. To keep you on the other side, right? But when you listen to the truth is what's going to bring you forward. Amen. So don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive. Don't focus on the thing you're afraid of, focus on the truth of God's word. And I like to say it this way, I've said this many times, David's focus was on the size of his God, not on the size of the giant. All right. And so many of us, and we are facing giants. There are real problems. There are challenges. It's real. And we are sometimes small in the face of these big Goliaths, these giants that we're facing. And if our eye is on the giant, we're going to be terrified every time. But if our eye is on God, who is bigger than the giant, our lives are going to be filled with tremendous courage. Amen. Do you want me to change microphones? All right, everybody say this, Lord Jesus, keep my eyes on you, and off the giant. What do you got anything to share about that, honey?
Well, the next thing that I do is I make it my goal to start every day with God's thoughts or heavenly thoughts.
Right.
And I go to Colossians 3:2 that says, set your mind on heavenly things.
Yes.
All of us deal with fear. I put in my iPad probably about 30 or 40 scriptures that have to do with fear. And I just start reading those and I meditate on them, like, he delivers me from all my fears, and set your heart and your mind on things above. Mm-hmm. And I meditate on those.
The truth.
And I get ready for the day.
Right.
And I've memorized the Lord's Prayer and I go through that. And I memorize putting on your armor. I put on my helmet of salvation, and I just start preaching to myself.
Come on.
And I put my breastplate on. I put my belt on. I put my shoes on. I get my sword, and I get my shield of faith. Good. And say, today I'm going to have God's thoughts. Today I have the mind of Christ. And I just start preaching to myself, and I just start praying it. And that's how I start my day.
Because you know the power of truth.
Right.
And what truth does for you is it breaks the lie. Yes, it does. And it gives you courage. And Kathy's mentioning, you know, memorizing scripture. And I will challenge us to memorize scriptures, especially scriptures that are relevant to areas that you are struggling in.
Amen.
Don't just maybe memorize random scriptures. Find the scriptures on the issue that you're dealing with. And if it's fear, find the fear scriptures, and our pastors and elders can help you with that. Get into the Bible and read the Bible every day and get involved in some of our learning opportunities, because not everything that you read in the Bible is easy to understand just by itself. So you need to be taught.
Amen.
And we'll teach you. We have a lot of classes and small groups and such to get you into the Word of God. Get truth in you, because you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. All right, now here's the last piece, and we're going to get ready to pray together. But this one I think is maybe the most important. It's to stand in faith. Not only receive God's love and focus on the truth instead of the problem, but you got to stand in faith. Jesus said, you know, faith makes everything possible.
Yes.
And you might think, man, I could never be free from this problem or that problem or this issue, but that's not what Jesus said. Everything is possible if we will believe. And we've got to understand, faith is not always just like for 3-second faith or Sunday morning faith. What we're experiencing now is wonderful. But this week, we've got to stand in faith. This mood and this feeling that we have of loving God right now, we've got to carry that all the way through. Because sometimes the problems don't come. I mean, sometimes the answers don't come instantaneously. And your job at that point is not to run away or to get frustrated just because the prayer isn't answered right away. Your job is to stand in faith and to wait for it and to persist. And if it takes 5 years or 5 months or 5 decades, you've got to make up your mind, I'm standing on God's word and I'm not budging. I'm not going to let go of my faith. People are letting go of their faith right now. Well, I prayed and it didn't happen, so I give up. Well, I prayed and something bad happened, so forget it. No. Stand in faith, the Bible says. And when you stand in faith, great things happen. Kathy, just wrap it up. Tell us anything else we need to know.
Well, something that's helped me and something that I'm working on daily is not letting my feelings, because my feelings are all over the place. You know, I could be happy, sad, glad, you know, moody. And I'm trying to not go by my feelings, but standing on the word, like you're talking about. And knowing that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps me to do that and accomplish it. In Acts 1:8, it says, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power.
Come on.
So if we have Jesus, we have his power inside of us, and we don't have to put up with every wind and everything that comes against our life because we've got the word of God and we can stand on that.
You're preaching now, girl. Okay. You said you never would, but you're doing it. We were driving down the highway and you said something to me that I love. And I said, and that was when I knew I had to have Kathy share. She said these words, do it anyway, even if you are afraid. What were you talking about there?
Well, if, like, when the Holy Spirit comes on you and the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, he allows you to do things that you don't think that you can do.
Right.
You know, you will be challenged, and because he knows that you could do it. So, of course, you know, your heart's beating out of your chest, and you're, you know, the enemy's coming against you, but we know that our God is greater on the inside of us.
Yes,
we can do
it
anyway, even though we're afraid.
Even you could, another way of saying it is do it afraid. Because, you know, well, I feel like I should join Impact School of Ministry, but I'm afraid. Well, join Impact Afraid. Well, I feel like I should start a small group, but I'm afraid. Well, start a small group afraid. Do it anyway, because otherwise you're never going to cross that river. So, I mean, let the Lord lead you. Don't let fear lead you. It may not be time for you to do Impact or a small group or whatever. Be led by the Lord. But if you feel God is calling you to do something, to walk across the street and show love to your neighbor, or take a class, or begin to tithe afraid. And watch what God will do for you. Get up and preach afraid. I do it all the time. I do it anyway, right? And then as you do it, it stops controlling you. And you lift your hands and you do what God has called you to do, and the power of fear is broken. We're going to cross the river. Listen, it's time to cross the river. You got to get sick of how it is on the old side. And realize God loves you and truth is real. And you can stand in faith. I want us to just spend a few minutes singing. Pastor Nicole has written a beautiful song, and we sing it here in our church. Why don't you guys stand with me? We're just going to have Holy Spirit time. And don't worry about the people around you. We're going to come to the end of the service in a few minutes here. But let's just worship the Lord and let God's love just wash over us. Pastor Nicole, let's sing.
There's no fear. There is no fear in your love, Lord. You give me peace. There is no fear in your love. Can you sing that with me, every voice? There's no fear. There is no fear in your love, Lord. Receive it. You give me peace. There is no fear in your love. There's power in love and a sound mind. There is no fear in your love, Lord.
sing it together. There is no fear.
Oh, there is no fear in your love.
Come on, church.
You give me peace. There is no fear in your love. There is no fear in your love, Lord. You give me peace. There is no fear in your love.
Hallelujah. Now, Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, who overcame. Jesus, who is King. He is Lord of everything. He is greater than fear. He is greater than panic. He is greater than anxiety. He's greater than sickness. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than loneliness. He's greater than poverty. He is greater than any problem that man has ever faced. He conquered it all. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He can certainly conquer fear. And Lord, I thank you that you love us. We come in the name of Jesus, Lord, to receive your love today. And Lord, to be convinced deep in our hearts of your love. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would turn the light of love like a switch on the inside of everyone. Bam, just like that. The light comes on. You love us. And we're not in darkness anymore. We're not ignorant and we're not afraid and we're not hiding. But we know that we are loved. Lord, though we don't deserve it, you love us and we receive that love, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, Lord. Thank you for washing us clean so we don't have to be ashamed and scared to come before you. Oh, thank you for the cross, Jesus. And Lord, on the authority of your finished work, the shed blood of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, I take authority right now over the spirit of fear. I take authority over every panic attack, every disorder, every problem. I take authority over PTSD. I take authority over trauma, trauma-based fears and things that entered into our lives. People that had accidents, they're afraid to drive. And people that got attacked by dogs and they're afraid of dogs. And people that loved and got hurt and they're afraid to love. I break the power of fear right now. Every kind of phobia, every kind of disappointment, every broken place in our heart, Lord, fill in every crack with your mighty love, Lord Jesus. And Father, give us the courage to stand in truth, Lord. When the lie seems so attractive and the lie seems so comforting, help us to divorce the lie, Lord. Help us to step out of the lie and into the light of your truth, Lord. Father, let the truth set us free right now. We say to every spirit of fear, your power is broken in this place, not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, our children will not be afraid. Our teenagers will not be afraid. Our senior citizens will not be afraid. Our men will not be filled with fear. Our women will not be full of phobias. Lord, we break the power of fear right now. We thank you for a mighty overcoming wave, Lord, of your love and your power right now. We receive this, Lord. Just lift your hands right now, wherever you are. Just lift your hands and receive God's love. Lord, thank you. Say this prayer with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I renounce fear. I release my faith to trust in you, to believe you from today forward, never to doubt and never to fear. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for filling me with truth. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' name, I confess. I declare that I am free from all fear. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm crossing over into faith and into blessings in Jesus' name. Now shout hallelujah. Come on, let's shout hallelujah. Lord, we praise you right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. 7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.